Brian, all those folks who want to go to the nursery, Carl, stay seated.
He heard their snacks.
Next Sunday is Bagel Sunday. Bagels.
You know, how can I win? Do I listen to the preacher or do I get a good meal? I don't know how you defeat that. I got an interesting email this past week from South Carolina, a lady who watches me quite often through the internet. And we've communicated a couple, two or three times over the course of 4 or 5 years. She sent me this email and she said, "I am exhausted trying to fight Satan, and Satan is winning. It looks like I may have to throw in the towel because he's going to win." Something like that. I emailed her back, and I said, "You're right, Satan's probably going to win." Now, that was a pretty cruel on my part, wasn't it? That's all I said. She emailed me back. She said, "Well, thanks for the encouragement." She said, "Does he have to win?" I said, "No." That's all I said. "No." She emailed me back. She said, "Is there anything wrong with your fingers?" She said, "I need to defeat Satan." I emailed back. I said, "Yes, you do." I'm getting to a point. Just hang with me. She emails me back. She said, "This is the last time I'm emailing you. What is your advice?" I said, "You cannot defeat Satan. Only Jesus can defeat Satan."
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Get with Jesus, you will win. Leave Jesus out, you will lose.
Amen.
Have a great day. And that's the truth. And that's true. I'm not a big typist because I would say, if I'd been on my phone, I'd sit a whole paragraph. I'd just talk. I was at the keyboard. Plus, it's hard for me to do spell check. That's why I said no, yes, because I want people to know I'm an educated man. If you misspell yes, it blows that education just clear out the window. You know what I'm saying? I was educated, you okay, so that'll tell you something right there. Give you a little insight about Michael. He graduated from the University of Louisville. Half the church is going to love you and the other half is going to fire you for you and yourself. But it really is truly a misconception about how powerful Satan is. Believe me, if you underestimate him, very powerful.
Stay right there.
Stay right there? You don't want me to move? Okay, I can't move for the moment. So I'm just going. But let me tell you this. Understand this. Satan. And I may go back, I preached this series, and it may even be on the, I don't know how far back, but some of you who have been here for a while will remember, I preached a series a few years back called Satan Only Has As Much Power As What?
You
give him. We give him a lot of power. You understand that? We really do. We give him an awful lot of power. But I promise you, you walk with Jesus, you live with Jesus, you read his word, you pray to him, and Satan will not win in your life. I don't care what the situation is. I don't care what's going on. Satan only has as much power as you give him. And if you know Jesus, and he is Lord of your life, and he is your Savior, you have that power within you to defeat Satan. But it's going to be up to you. It's up to you. Because believe me, Christian people get defeated by Satan every day. Because they don't read his Bible. They don't go to his church. They don't kneel and pray. They don't try to be a witness for him, and they're getting defeated left and right, and they're getting beat up to the worst degree. So understand this, folks. Listen to me closely. Jesus loves you. Those of you watching by internet, Jesus loves you. He wants to give you all the strength that you need to live every day, but it's up to you. It's your choice. Jesus will not be forced into your home, into your life. He will only come when you invite him. My advice to you is to invite him every day.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right. You remember when we got real close to the end of our study of the book of Revelation, we talked about this 1,000-year millennium reign. You remember that? Say amen. Oh, we're going to have a big time there. And those of us who have really, truly lived for the Lord here on this earth and tried to live for him, we don't know what kind of a job Jesus is going to give for us, but we're going to work directly for Jesus. And he's going to give us some wonderful jobs during this 1,000-year reign to help him rule that time. Well, at the end of that, you remember, we understand that this new Jerusalem, this heavenly city, we understand it to be that while this 1,000-year millennium reign is going on, it's going to be sort of just hovered above us, But one day that city's going to come down. And when that city comes down, at the end of this 1,000 years, this is going to be the prettiest city you've ever seen in your life. We're going to talk about this city today. What's it going to be like? Is it big enough to hold everybody? Is it big enough to hold every Christian person that's been saved from the beginning of time? Is it different from the new heaven and the new earth during this millennial period down here on heaven? There's some good questions here. People have asked me this. They're curious about this. Tell me about these streets of gold, all that's going to go on. It's going to be a neat place. I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to see it. How great that's going to be. But no matter how beautiful the city is, what's going to make it great is that there's what we're going to see. God the Father, God the Son, and His Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Forever and ever. Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, Brother Larry, here we go. Is heaven and the new Jerusalem the same place? It's a good question. All right, Brother Larry, go ahead. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Do you remember this in Revelations when we were there? And I, John, saw the holy city. The holy city. What a sight this is going to be. Will you bow your head with me, please? Father, bless these moments. Father, may everything that we do bring glory to the kingdom of God. To those watching by internet, may they understand there is a new heaven and a new earth. But it's only prepared for those who are prepared to receive it. Not everyone's going to see this. Only God's people. Christian people. Those who have believed in Jesus will see this great city. What a time this is going to be when Jesus we see. Father, bless this time together. May your scripture come alive on the page as we get excited about God's world coming soon. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Keep one thing in mind. I'm going to say this week after week after week. I said this a lot during our time in Revelation, and I'm going to say this when we talk about heaven. You look to the Middle East. I've said this for years. The more action that's going on in the Middle East means the trumpets in the hand of Jesus. There is more terror going on over there than you've ever seen. The kidney doctor, who I love, I've been going to for 10 years, Dr. Nassar, as a Martian Nazi. He is from Syria. Half of his family in the last 2 months has been killed and beheaded. He left that country over 20 years ago to come to this country and be educated. He's a Christian person, loves the Lord. And I know that he was sent to this country to do some wonderful things. He can't sleep at night because his family that he left back is being killed every day because they're Christian people in a non-Christian state. and they're being killed for what they believe. Don't tell me Jesus is not coming soon. The worse this country gets, the worse this planet gets, believe me, that's all in the hands of Jesus. He's coming soon. Satan is at an all-time fever pitch, doing everything he can to destroy everything he can get his hands on.
Amen.
Believe me, he will destroy you and everything else unless you put Jesus in front of your life. But believe me, when Jesus is in front of you and you're following him, he'll never be able to get to you. Always understand that. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Now, the thousand-year millennium reign has come to an end. And now here comes this new city. Look how it is. Look at this word. Remember how I used this prepared? It is a prepared place for what? Prepared people. You're not going to see this unless you know Jesus. No one's going to see this unless you have made preparation for it here on this time. This time on this planet. This time that you have in the flesh. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus? This is how you prepare to see this, is to come to know him as your Lord and as your Savior, and to continue to live for him every day of your life. As a bride adorned for her husband, when Monica and I come together, we dated for a while, we got engaged, we planned this wedding. And let me tell you something right now. Weddings are for brides.
Amen.
I mean, I showed up. I was just there. It had nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me whatsoever. Okay? But it was a day of a union between two people that we have always believed that God put us together. Well, this is a beautiful picture of this here. One, we are the bride of Christ, Christian people, God's holy people. One day we're going to be unioned with the groom. Who is that?
Jesus.
Jesus. And there we're going to live for him forever because we're going to be in love. Love like we've never known what love is all about. You think you love someone down here, you don't know what love is until we get to heaven and see how much love and grace and mercy is going to be involved in heaven. It's a prepared place for prepared people. This is the holy city that you're going to want to see. Let's talk about this holy city. All right, Brother Larry, let's go to the next. Can the New Jerusalem accommodate all believers? I asked that question a while ago. Well, let's just see how big a place this is. We talked about this too during our study of Revelation. All right, Brother Larry. And the city, Revelation 21:16, and the city lies four square, and the length is as large as the breadth, and the measure of the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Now, if you have a Bible that's got a footnote, you know what that is. The length and breadth and height of it are equal. That's 1,500 square miles. And it is as high as it is wide. That's 3/4. The first floor of heaven. First floor. It's as big as 3/4 of the United States. That's just the first floor. It's got a lot of stories to it. Oh, it's going to be big enough. I promise you. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life looking it over, walking through it, and thanking Jesus every day that he prepared a place like this for me, because I didn't deserve it. When you walk through these streets of gold, and you walk through and you see everything that's involved in this new heaven, and understand you didn't deserve any of it, but because Jesus died for you and you accepted him as Lord and Savior, because he wants the best for you. And sometimes when life gets tough and it gets hard, and it gets hard sometimes, we think maybe Satan is winning and Jesus is losing. And that's a mindset. But believe me, if you're not careful, Satan's going to live your life. That doesn't mean he's going to rob you of your salvation. It doesn't mean that you're lost. But it means he's going to beat up on you, beat up on you, beat up on you, beat up on you till you can't walk. And if someone keeps beating up on you, it's like if someone comes and just beats up on you and you set their name to it. Who's going to do that? You're going to get bruised up. You're going to get hurt. Sooner or later, you're going to fight back. Does that make sense? But see, it's like if a bully picks on me. Maybe the bully's bigger than me. When I was in school, in about the third grade, I was the biggest one in the school. Not this way. This way. Well, this way too, Chris, but I'm kind of big. A little old kid came up to me, came up to cheer on me. Used words I'd never heard of in my life. Raised in a Christian home. I never heard this kind of language. Called my mother, called my father, called me names I never heard of in my life. So since I never heard of them, it didn't amount to nothing. I didn't pay no attention to it. I went right out. We rode the same school bus together. You'll like me, Chris. We rode the same school bus. He was on me all the time. I was on a school bus. I let him go one ear and out the other. Didn't matter. I didn't know what these words meant. He's just a little squirt talking. One day when the school bus came to the stop and I got off, there was Mr. Was it Softy? Frosty? Mr. Remember the soft serve guy? All right, well, those who remember in their 50s, okay, they remember. He was there. I got me an ice cream. Cost me a quarter. This was in probably about 1968, 69, cost me a quarter. I took one lick of that ice cream and this bully knocked it out of my hands. And it went on the ground. Now, I didn't care what he called my mother, but you don't mess with my food. I got done with that kid, he never talked to me again. Give the Lord a hand of applause. There will come a time when you won't take it no more. Okay? Surely to goodness people get that. Don't take it no more. Get on the side of Jesus. Because Satan will hit you where it hurts. But I promise you, this is a city that's going to be big enough. And I'm going to be reminded every day that I'm in that city how much Jesus loves me. Because it's going to be the best. The best of the best. And here's the deal. It don't make me much how much money I got. Because money won't mean nothing to me then. The only thing that will mean anything to me at that time is my relationship with Jesus. Streets of gold, everything there shiny, nice, beautiful. We're not going to have to cut grass no more. I'm not going to have to listen to a weed eater no more, listen to a blower no more. I ain't going to have to worry whether my car breaks down. There won't even be a Ford in heaven. People that work for Ford, they might be there, I don't know, okay? We're not going to have need of anything. It's going to be provided for us. Because that's how much Jesus loves us. And I promise you, if you're watching the internet, there's room for you at the cross of Jesus. There's room for you in this heavenly, wonderful, new, holy city. If you would truly believe in Jesus. Give the Lord a hand of applause. And all right, Brother Larry, let's go to the last. I ask this a lot. What are the trees of life and the river of life? Right, Brother Larry. Revelation chapter 22, verse 2. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the tree of it and the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now you remember when we talked about this, right through the very center, of these streets of gold is going to be this wonderful, pure river. And what it represents is not only the power of God, but how God's going to sustain us. See, in this world, we have to have two things to live. Water, food. If you don't have water, after a while, you're going to die. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how muscular you are. I don't care what. Without water, you will die. Sooner or later, without food, you're going to die. Understand this. These two wonderful representations, this pure river and these wonderful trees of life, represent that from now on, we will never have need of anything. Whether we need water, food, or whatever. Jesus, not only does he meet our needs here, you understand that? He meets your needs. May not be everything that you want in life, but he does meet your needs. You agree with that? Say amen.
Amen.
Up there, not only are you going to get everything you need, you're going to get everything you want. And you're going to be reminded every day what beauty there is. There's two things on this planet that are beautiful. One is, in my opinion, the ocean. The other is nature. You see how powerful the ocean and that water is, and you see how powerful nature is. Nothing any beautiful than going to the mountains. Nothing any beautiful than going through Tennessee in October and November when the leaves turn. There's nothing any more powerful or beautiful in this country and on this globe than water and nature. Up here in heaven, there's two things that you're going to see every day. It's water and nature. And be reminded that Jesus loves you and will provide for you for eternity and eternity and eternity and eternity. And here's the deal. You don't have to work for it. Here, you don't work, you don't eat. That was my father's favorite saying to me up through all of my teenage years. He said, I want you to understand, son, if you don't work, you don't eat. Every time I went to the table, there was food there. I don't remember a time I ever sat down at my table. There wasn't food there when I was 15 years old. I said, Dad, there's food here. He said, you know why? Because I went to work. There wasn't a harder person on this planet to work than my father. And he simply just taught me, when you work, you eat. I think that's a pretty good philosophy of life. You don't know the truth. It's been my philosophy throughout all of life. He wasn't trying to be mean. He was trying to raise me. He was trying to teach me. In other words, I'm not going to be here all of your life. I'm not going to be able to work all of your life and provide for you. At the time, you're going to be a man and provide for yourself. I never will forget that. That's some of the greatest advice my dad ever gave me. I passed that on to my two kids. They understand that. They both have jobs. They both work. When you work, you eat. Now, there are times when people struggle with work and can't get work. I understand that. We've got all kinds of programs to help you with that. But understand this. God expects people to try. And God expects people to do everything that they can within their means. To do what they can to provide for themselves. Because that's what it's all about. And thank God we've got people that can. And they draw a disability. And I think that's wonderful that our country can do that. And help people throughout. Because there are times when we get sick that we can't do that. But if you're well and you're healthy, my advice is that you work. But here's the deal. I'll say all that to get to this. When we get to heaven one day, you ain't going to have to work no more. Because Jesus is going to provide the best of the best of the best. Because you prepared yourself here on this earth for to meet and to understand the love and the amazing grace of Jesus. Every day, a new heaven and a new earth. It's prepared for you, it's prepared for me, and it's prepared for anyone across the globe that watches me if they know Jesus. But if you don't know Jesus, don't get caught up in what all this is going to look like, because you're not going to see it. You will never be allowed on the property of what God has prepared because you have denied Jesus. Now that's not because I say it, that's because God's Word says it. I understand that going into this. Jesus died for you. He loves you. He loves you. and he will forgive you. But not only did he die for you, he rose from that grave in 3 days. Not only did he get out of that grave, walk out of that grave, but after 4 days of doing teaching, he ascended to Jesus. He's with Jesus now, God the Father. One of these days, God the Father is going to say, Jesus is going to get my people. Believe me, it's any day, any day, any day. And we've talked about this. Once he comes and tribulation starts, the next 7 years is not going to be a very pleasant time around here for people. Once that starts, don't go through that. Don't live through that. Take care of it now. Understand, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's been that way. It will always be that way. But it's the truth. Do you know him? Do you love him? Do you believe in him? Jesus. 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 Give Jesus a hand of applause. Stand with me. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Oh, Father, in the precious and holy name of Jesus, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your amazing grace today. We thank you for your forgiveness today, because there's not a soul here that you haven't forgiven. May we understand that today. Father, if there be one here today that's lost, that's never believed in you as their Lord and Savior, may this be the first day of the rest of their life. May they truly come and just say, Brother Roger, I want to believe in Jesus, and I want to accept him as my Lord and my Savior, as so many have done in the last years in this little church. Will you come? Will you believe? Maybe you need a quiet time at this altar. Maybe there's something in your life that's not right. Maybe Satan is trying to beat up on you. He's trying to beat up on you. And I promise you, he'll beat up on you until you renounce him in the name of Jesus and turn your life over to Jesus. Maybe you need just a quiet time at this altar and say, Jesus, I need some help. Please be in my life. Watch over me. Protect me. Give me the words to say. Give me the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness I need this hour. Maybe you just need for me to pray with you, and I would love to do that. Just say, Brother Roger, pray with me. You don't even have to tell me what it's about. Jesus knows. Father, bless these moments. And all that we do, may you be glorified. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we pray. As every head is still bowed and every eye is still closed. As Larry begins to play, would you come in the name of Jesus?